isn't it nice that when it is cool outside, we can have heat, we can have a big barbecue meal, and we can sit in padded pews? That's where we're different. Because I have to try to keep that awake if we go through all of that. It's warm in here, you're comfortable, and you just had a big meal. Why should I be happy about that? You know, everything has been wonderful. The food has been spectacular. I thank everyone for making that possible for us. To the hospitality extended, that we coming in, being treated royally. I'm so thankful for an opportunity to be here. And some great conversations on history at the house. Appreciate that too. It's been wonderful. I thank you for the opportunity to Tony and the preparation to the elders. Your spiritual growth does not happen by accident. I hope that by now you have learned at least that. It requires deliberate attention and it requires diligent action if it's going to take place. A new Christian does not become an elder or a preacher simply by a combination of time and attendance. It's not going to happen. Spiritual growth demands far more. Indeed, every epistle that you will find in the New Testament implies the necessity of spiritual growth. And yet Christians tend to assume that that just comes with time and age rather than with planning and effort. But there remains an even deeper element to spiritual growth that we often fail to consider, and that's important, I think, for all of us here tonight to consider. Most Christians grow in their spiritual knowledge if they attend regularly and pay attention. Spiritual growth, though, demands that we ask this question in another way. What if I do not grow enough? What if I do not grow enough to be able to bring someone to Christ? What if I do not grow enough to withstand persecution, should it come? What if I do not grow enough to handle a major crisis in my life? What if I do not grow enough to be able to help grow other Christians? The writer of Hebrews witnessed the peril inherent in this kind of failure, the failure to grow spiritually, as he saw Jewish Christians who were teetering on the brink of apostasy. And with their faith in question and a future that was truly in jeopardy, he addressed the root of the problem in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, if you will follow along. It reads, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." In short, these Christians had endangered their souls by their failure to grow. They had not arrived on the brink of apostasy overnight. It doesn't work that way. But rather, their emerging unfaithfulness was a direct result of neglecting their own spiritual growth. And the dangers, therefore, that they faced are the same dangers that we face today, should we do the same. So we're going to look at this text, and we're going to consider its implications. Lord, what if I do not grow? Friends, if you do not grow spiritually, you are wasting spiritual opportunities that God has given you. Notice, he says, "For though by this time," that's opportunity, time. Ephesians chapter 5 and 16, we were redeemed the time because the days are evil. And because we often think that we just don't have time. And this becomes a reason for why I don't grow more, I'm not doing more because I don't have time. The truth is we don't use our time well. We will spend 30 hours a week, anywhere from 12 to 30 years sometimes, in my case, looking for a secular education. We'll spend 40 to 60 weeks per week, every year, maybe 30 40 to 50 years working to provide for our physical needs. And then we spend 4 hours per week preparing our souls for eternity. And we don't have time. We waste opportunities to learn spiritually when we choose a lot of passive entertainment over active study. So much so that when we do study, we want it to be passive study. We want someone else doing our work for us in our study too. But it says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The beginning part of that when it says study is your diligence. That means you put your best effort into it. Don't waste your opportunity. We waste opportunities that are presented in the assembly for 3 reasons I can think of. Number 1, because we don't prepare beforehand. 2, because we're not paying attention in the moment. And 3, because we don't apply the lesson once we leave. Therefore, take heed how you hear, Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. Just to illustrate this, the number of times I can't recall, I try to put it out of my mind, some of those people will come in gospel meeting. And they'll get a lesson. And somebody will say, I've never heard a sermon on that. And I'm thinking to myself, and Cody, you do not have to shake your head in agreement, but I'm thinking to myself, I preached on that last month. Where were you? They did not let that lesson sink in. It was gone by the time they hit the doors. We hurt ourselves when we fail to take advantage of extra learning opportunities. There are people that are not here tonight that could be. I'm thankful you're here. But there are also other opportunities that we could take that make it a lot better for us learning-wise, but we don't take them. That doesn't mean that we stay in 24 hours a day, you understand, but we need to make sure that it's actually a priority. Seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, Matthew 6:33. Every day, you have the opportunity to grow in your biblical knowledge, grow in your faith, and grow in your relationship with God. Do you take it? Do you set aside time to read your Bible, 1 Timothy 4:13? Do you set aside time just to pray, 1 Thessalonians 5:17? Or do you set aside time just to study, Psalm 1 and verse 2? As the writer of Hebrews implies, we will be held accountable for how well we use our time upon this earth, including whether we are using it to grow spiritually. So, friends, we do have the time. We just do not make the time. Second of all, if you do not grow spiritually, you are limiting your service in the kingdom. Notice again from our text, for though by this time you ought to be teachers. If you don't grow, you're not doing that. You can't do it. That's what he's saying. In 1 Corinthians 15:58, it says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, and as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Lord needs workers, people who can help, who can be involved, who can be active and doing a lot of things. But that means people have to grow. And when you fail to grow, you automatically are limiting your spiritual potential. And no one, you included, will ever know what you could have become, except for God. By failing to develop your abilities, failing to grow your knowledge, and failing to challenge yourself, you are robbing God of all that you could have done. You limit your ability to reach the lost because the moment comes and you feel unprepared to talk to them and want to walk and listen to those who are without redeeming the time for us in school this fall. You limit your participation in the congregation, not only the social interaction. Fellowship is great, but what is it based on? If that's all we're doing, not doing spiritual things, then who's going to be doing the spiritual things? Peter was undertaking with that. Limit your spiritual. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering myself as you also be tempted. Galatians 6:1. You also end up limiting good influence over the next generations of Christians. 2 Timothy 2:2. If you have not prepared yourself, then you can't prepare them. We look at it and say, where are the next generation of Christians? Where was the work preparing them? It's one thing to look down and say, what's happened, instead of looking within and saying, what happened to me? Did I grow enough to help? There are a number of ways to serve in the Lord's kingdom, and teaching is just one of them. But if you don't grow spiritually, you hinder your ability to do any of them. You should not be offering the same service to God you were 5 years ago. You should be offering more. Number three, if you do not grow spiritually, you are adding burdens for others. Now listen carefully to this. For though at this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again. You've added burdens to someone else. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 5, it says each man shall carry his own burden or his own load. As we have individual responsibilities, and if you should have known something by now, but you don't, then that means you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're not carrying your own load. And so many problems that come up in congregations in the Lord's church are directly related to people's failure to grow spiritually. Spiritual maturity leads people to become a problem instead of helping solve a problem. Instead of lifting up the hands of spiritual leaders, they're kind of giving them an extra thing to lift. So your lack of growth means others must do work you should be doing. In Nehemiah chapter 3, we find that the walls are being built, that Nehemiah and his leadership has the people working on the walls. And we drop down verse 5 and we find that they're working, but the nobles did not put forth their hands to do the work. Then we drop down to verse 34 and we find that there were people who did, they built another, they put another section. Those are two very different types of people. The ones who don't want to do anything, the others who want to do extra. So in Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, we said that the people had a mind to work. We need to understand the nobles were not included in that. It was a general statement. And a lot of times people will look around at things that happen in the congregation and think, oh, isn't it great what we have done here, when they actually have not been really burdened. And they should be thanking the people who did the work. I think about what could have been done if you wanted to grow. Your lack of growth means you're going to need others' help to answer questions and solve problems that you ought to be able to handle yourself. You ever been in that situation? Someone at work or school asks you a question. It's not a Bible question, not too hard. You say, I'm not sure. I know that we went over this. For long, someone here is getting a call asking for the answer. This is where the answer is. Why don't you know it? You see, now someone else has got a phone call and extra time to spend over something you should have already known. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, it says, sanctify the Lord God your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks of you the reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Your lack of growth means Bible classes must repeat some of the same material again and again, because you have yet to learn it. And that holds back others' growth. If everybody was putting their all into a Bible class, preparing ahead, thinking ahead, getting themselves into the text, what Bible classes we could have? And instead, we end up repeating ourselves over and over because people aren't prepared for class. And the same things that should have learned they haven't committed to memory because they're not taking notes, they're not studying on their own. And people who could be learning a lot more because they're working at it don't even get the opportunity in a Bible class. In John 20, verses 24 and 25, I don't know if you thought about this, but we find that the apostles were together when Jesus arrived and then after his resurrection, he appeared to them. We find that in verses 24 and 25, that Thomas had not been there. And therefore, Jesus had to go through the whole process of revealing himself again. A lot of us end up putting ourselves in that situation because we're not putting ourselves ready out there to really work at it, and therefore the same lessons are having to be taught one more time. Spiritual growth is what propels a congregation forward, not only in knowledge, but also in action. When individual Christians fail to grow, it therefore slows down the overall growth and the overall work. And that congregation then has to spend meager resources just trying to keep the same instead of reaching out to the lost, to grow God's people. Number four, if you do not grow spiritually, you are limiting your own understanding. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 20, it says, brethren, do not be children in understanding, however, in must be bathed. In understanding, be mature. A spiritually weak and ignorant often have an influence beyond their numbers in a congregation just because they're more likely to speak up and object to anything that's going on because they don't understand. They're operating not on the Bible principles but on personal opinions. And that holds the congregation back. But you know what? When we do that, it also is reinforcing their ignorance as a good thing. We can decide that we need to, what we need to do to combat this problem, of course, is even more teaching on first principles, which slows down the growth of everyone else. But most of all, when the spiritual understanding is that weak, it's going to show in spiritual weak behavior. Your ignorance will lead you to being upset because people do not cater to you. Galatians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Paul was not about to let them circumcise Titus on principle. Here were a group of people who were stubborn, they were obstinate, and they were ignorant. But they wanted their way. And Paul said, no, it's not right. They wanted to cater to, and that's really what Judaism teaching was at its core, was catering, wanting to cater to Judaism as being primary. And sometimes we can get that way. If I don't get things my way, I get all hurt, I get upset, and I find other reasons to not like something about the congregation. And if any little slight becomes a reason for a storm of controversy, I mean, after all, can you believe what color these trees are? Perfect. Yeah, that's right. And they're beautiful. But, you know, sometimes we get that one person who decides it shouldn't have been their color because they're upset about something else. Like spiritual growth. You know, it could be something darker, it could be practical, but at the core, the problem is they didn't get their way. Your ignorance will keep you from accepting a deeper knowledge, even when it's taught from the scriptures properly. Hermeneutically, on this basic premise. So watch out, simply because I haven't heard it before. That itself is not a reason to reject something. Because it is arrogant to assume that you've only heard everything right. It's arrogant to assume that the way you were taught was right. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 21, and that was just the first time in that chapter he does this, he says, you've heard it said of you, but I say. He was simply saying that you were taught was not right, and I'm going to show you why. Now, for us to be able to handle that, that means we need to be knowledgeable of the scriptures to handle them well, to tell the difference. Only the spiritually mature believe everything exactly the same as when they first obeyed the gospel, because that's when you're the most ignorant. If you're more ignorant now, then we've got another problem. Growth implies we change what we believe to align with truth. And we change what we do to align with God's will. That's key. You should have a heart for truth, not for your own opinion. Not for just the way that you think, but to be open to anything that will put you with truth. And if you aren't there, then you're not where you need to be. A spiritually mature prevent both of these things because they have this attachment to their own misunderstandings. Your ignorance can lead you to apply everything you hear to physical things and to personal projects, personal agendas, while failing to hear and learn the real lesson. If we only learn things through our own little filter of here's my little favorite thing, then we're getting wrong. Because I've already decided what I will learn, what I won't learn. In Matthew chapter 16, verses 5 through 12, we find an example where there the disciples that were going to cross to see. And Jesus says to beware the leaven of the Pharisees. He says, oh, Lord, stop this. He's upset with them that he wouldn't be bread. I'm pretty sure Jesus never rolled his eyes, but he probably sure was tempted to with cases like this. What? Why would they think that? Because that's how they thought. And that was immaturity. Nicodemus was a teacher in Israel, but could not follow Jesus' teaching on some of the most basic points of the kingdom. He had limited himself in his learning. And therefore, he was unprepared to really grow when the opportunity presented itself to him. Are you, the teacher of Israel, indeed not knowing these things? John chapter 3, verse 10, number 5. If you do not grow spiritually, you are ignoring God himself. You see, I kind of quieted down the last time I read this, and now we're going to read it again. For though this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. That's a powerful word, oracles. Because it really is getting to the core of this is God speaking out important things for you to hear. And we don't want to pay attention. But he wants a relationship with us. All scripture is given by inspiration of God as profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into every good work. 2 Timothy 3, 16, 17. Now, it is easy to ignore the preacher. It's easy to ignore one sermon that stepped on my toes. It's easy to ignore calls for volunteers. Because it's easy to accept yourself as you are and to think that you are busy enough, knowledgeable enough, and spiritual enough. But in doing so, you're ignoring what God himself has told you in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 8. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God. Now, failing to grow spiritually tells God you do not want to be any closer to him than you already are. Go out of God, and he will go out of you. Your determination of how much you want to grow is going to be determined by God. And therefore, the distance between you and God is going to be determined by how much you really want to grow to be close to God. When you say, I'm close enough, I ask you this, is that how you look at heaven? Are you close enough to heaven right now? How close do you want to be? Failing to grow close spiritually tells God that you think you know more than he does, because he thinks you need to know more and you disagree. I mean, in Job 38, when God finally speaks and takes over from the lion, and he looks down at Job and I'm going to paraphrase this, who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? To think you know plenty. Failing to grow spiritually tells God that you don't really take him at his word to get you through life. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 26, they're crossing Galilee, the storm comes up. And of course, the apostles are frightened. This must have been a pretty rough storm. They've seen stories of fishermen. And Jesus says to them, why are ye fearful? Of your little faith. Where's your trust? If Jesus said he was going to take care of him, had he recognized that he was the Messiah? There's so many times in life that what we end up doing by our own behavior is saying, I need somebody else, I need to do this, I need help from over here. And this person, I need help from the government, I need help from society, I need help from people in life, but we don't think it comes with them. I need God. Or we don't think, I have God and that's enough. We hold in our hands the very word of God. We need God for our benefit and given for our salvation. These words can only benefit us to the extent that we truly believe them and it's really not that. The growing grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to him we believe, is known forever and ever. Every time that we ignore these, we ignore God himself. And we're pushing him away rather than embracing him. Number six. If you do not grow spiritually, you are cutting yourself off from the best life. Let's read verse 13 now. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, it says, for bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, so listen carefully, having promise of life that now is and of that which is to come. Christianity is the very best life imaginable. It provides guidance when we've lost our way. It lends a divine calm to the storms of life. And it offers hope for our darkest days. But if we fail to grow, we can never realize the peace that God makes possible for us, even as we walk each day upon this earth. If you fail to grow, you are missing out on the power of prayer to give calm in times of stress. And not because it's simply meditation, but because there's an understanding of that God can take care of things we can't handle. Be anxious for nothing. In everything, through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God and let the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Guard them. The God around your heart to protect from the things you're out there is found in the trust I have that God can take care of it because I can't give it over to him. Why do we say, I pray and I just don't feel that? And we're not going to get mushy emotional. But the real problem is we probably didn't really hand it over to God. Because we've already decided how we want it handled. We've already determined what answer we want. We've already decided the best way. And we're waiting to get back. And you won't grow spiritually doing it that way. Because that's not trust. If you fail to grow, you are missing out on the closeness of fellowship. It ties Christians together with a love that surpasses human bonds. What is family? I love my family. I love the Christian family. But I'm simply going to tell you, if there's no question, I'm thankful that so many of my physical family are Christians, too. But I'm closer to a number of Christians who are not physical family, but I am just people that I'm saying to. I go to family reunions, and I love those people, but it's not the same. In Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, Jesus is teaching and he's interrupted. So he says, your mother and your brethren are outside. And Jesus, apparently not skipping a beat, looks at the people who are there, listening, learning, and growing spiritually, and says, behold, my mother and my brethren, you are my family. When we grow to where we think in such terms, that we then feel in such terms, we begin to understand how far our spiritual growth needs to take us. If you fail to grow, you are missing out on the joy of life itself. Because you're holding yourself back. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. And it's key there. But it's not just rejoice in Jesus. It's not rejoice in Christ. Rejoice in the Lord, but that's about his authority. And my life is better, and I am happier, and I am joyful when I am doing exactly what Jesus says to do. Jesus lived only 33 years upon this earth. He lived in poverty and amidst persecution. He died owning absolutely nothing. He rose gaining everything. When we fail to grow spiritually, we live as if he made the wrong decision how to live. But he had the best life possible. And he offers it to us. Yea, I'm telling them not having life, yea, they're going to have it more abundantly. John 12, verse 10. Number 7. If you do not grow spiritually, you are putting yourself at risk spiritually. Verse 14. But solid food belongs to those who are full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now think about those words. If you're not mature and you haven't really practiced this and put all these things in and worked on them, you don't really know how to make good decisions about right and wrong. But what does that picture? There's no temptation taking us, which is such as common in man, but God is faithful, who will suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but well with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it, which Corinthians 10 verse 13. And we sometimes paper over the serious problem of spiritual immaturity. We're so thankful that people have obeyed the gospel and become Christians that we forget how seriously the Lord takes spiritual growth. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. All power has been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And now I'm with you all the way, even the end of the world. Why are we not as excited and diligent about the last part as we are about the first? You see, you get to this point, and you I did what I needed to do. And we reach that certain point in our Christianity when we just accept where we are spiritually. And I think the Lord ought to accept us too. Maybe it's right after we're baptized. Maybe it's right after we graduate from school. Maybe it's after we die. You see, that's exactly what happened to some of the churches in Asia. The Ephesians had grown accustomed to spiritual routine and forgotten spiritual laws. Revelation 2, verse 4. The church of Pergamos had accepted a little bit of error and expected the Lord to be fine with that too. Revelation chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. The Christians at Sardis had a reputation for being alive spiritually, and they were dead. Revelation 3, verse 1. The Laodiceans had become lukewarm about their faith. Jesus, Revelation 3:16. Why? They were at risk spiritually because they had first grown stagnant spiritually. The first step of apostasy is not error, it's nothingness. And if we follow that path, we will deserve the same century. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And the Apostle Paul, in trying to get a similar point across, says, and I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as a carnal, as the babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it, and even now you are still not able. For you are still carnal, for there are envy, strife, and division among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? It has consequences. Amen. Christians and congregations that fail to grow spiritually eventually die from their malnutrition. They stand for some time as this dead tree can give an appearance of life to an untrained eye, but it's actually rotting inside. Eventually, a strong wind comes across and exposes that weakness, and even a once mighty oak can come crashing down. the writer of Hebrews knew this. He saw it coming in the lives of those to whom he wrote. And that's why he gave them and us this warning. Now, these may seem inconsequential in the moment, and you may think you have plenty of time to learn to grow. Many people have lived in this kind of denial for years. And then when Satan attacks them with the fear of force, they find themselves unprepared to fend off his fiery darts. They find themselves in the midst of a personal crisis, and they face unprepared. They face a major decision, and that undeveloped knowledge leads to personal panic. Due to spiritual immaturity, their personal struggles in a moment of weakness become ingrained habits. And as a result, they become defensive. Excuses become commonplace, and self-justification becomes the norm. You can't tell me that. I'm fine. They retreat into past sin and error to protect their ego, and therefore become easy to destroy. But in the end, they insist they're fine, because they come to measure their spirituality by their attendance and their giving rather than their daily character and conduct. Perhaps you've been there. Perhaps you are there. But brethren, it doesn't have to stay that way. Just as the writer of Hebrews wanted to help those struggling Christians then, we want to help you today. The beauty of spiritual growth is that it follows in principle the same plan that we learned to become Christians. So think about this. You want to grow? Listen to God. Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, Romans 3:17. And when you listen, trust Him and trust His answers. But that faith is impossible to please Him. He comes to God with belief that He is and that He is rewarded them that diligently seek Him. He was number six. And trusting Him, change. Do whatever it takes to change your will and accept His will. Times of sickness don't look at, but often not only ever had to recount at 17:30. In change and acknowledge that God is right, you've been wrong. It's the heart of confession, Matthew 10:32-33. He is right about Jesus, he's right about you. And then begin right now to obey Him. Whatever that requires. Whatever weakness you have, wherever you are spiritually at this moment, you make the decision right now to do whatever He told you to do. Well, you're a son that learned your obedience for the things that you suffered, and being made perfect, to become an offer of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Hebrews 5:8-9. To become a Christian, that means being immersed in water for the remission of your sins. To be part of the one body, the church for which Jesus died. Acts 2:38, 1 Corinthians 12:13. But if you've already done that, then obedience means being faithful unto death. Revelation 2:20. If you've been faithful unto death, I'll give you a crown of life. You see, you will not receive a crown of life in a heavenly home without being faithful to God. And you do not become faithful to God without growing spiritually. If you have need for any reason whatsoever, would you please come and stand and sing?